This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Keyshawn Johnson, got to get to the bottom of this. Jay Williams, is there legitimacy that he does not like Carlin and will not come on the show because of it?
If he's not coming on the show, there's a problem with somebody, right?
Did he, in fact, have a flat tire the other day, or is that a made-up excuse?
I think he had a flat. He's not driving. So the vehicle that he was in had a flat.
That does make the story more interesting, though.
Especially at Duke. They had a special place to go. They just get you a new car. Hey, tire, get a new car.
This is DCR.
Win.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 6 o'clock hour. DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We did the win-loss game with both the Giants and the Jets. Carlin had the Giants completely falling apart down the stretch of the season, which would be catastrophic in my world. Let's get to the Yankees and the Mets. Quickly, Jared Kelenic made his Major League Baseball debut. Do you want to get a scouting report on Kelenic quickly before we get to the Yankees and Mets?
No.
I think you might.
No, I don't think I want to. Is he still in the Mets?
No.
Oh, did you trade him for Edwin Diaz and Robinson Cano?
Yeah.
Great.
Carlin, you sent it, so you must have seen it, right?
I did. This was out of an MLB.com story describing Kelenic and the kind of.
Do you not believe that Rick would enjoy hearing the scouting report on Jared Kelenic?
I'd be happy to share it.
Would you like
to? No. Rick's head isn't his hands.
Well, no, because I can only imagine what he. The reason he's bringing it up is because it's going to drive me.
Forget
no,
it.
I want to hear it. No, I want to hear it. You're trying to. I mean, I know what you're trying to do. Let's hear it.
Yeah, I don't think you do.
No, I think I do. Let's hear it.
Carlin, why don't you?
Kelenic is a dynamic outfield bat, a cocksure Wisconsinite, brought into the fold via a Robinson Cano and Edwin Diaz trade that many still can't believe actually transpired. In the prospect hoarding present, to land a talent like Kelenic while moving the mountain of money attached to a then 36-year-old second baseman was a remarkable organizational reset. Mariners general manager Jerry DePoto has earned accolades for that one, even though Kelenic has yet to play a single game in the big leagues.
That's great. That's exactly what you want to hear as a Mets fan.
I thought you would greatly enjoy a cocksure Wisconsinite.
I did when he was on my team. Thought a cocksure Wisconsinite would have fit perfectly for the Mets. And unfortunately, now he's in Seattle. And we get Robinson Cano. Who, oh, by the way, just if anyone's wondering, the reason why you don't see him is because he's been suspended for the entire year.
What do you think he's doing?
I have no idea, to be honest.
See, this is not the Rick that we've come to adore. We give you a phrase like cocksure Wisconsinite, and you're just sitting here analyzing the trade? Who are you?
I don't know why you thought that I would think that cocksure Wisconsinite was going to lead me into anything good.
Oh, please. Carlin, did you not think that would take him down a great road?
I thought it would, and as a result, I mean, I thought you'd be getting a phone call after the show.
Yeah,
I
wanted
the
phone
call.
Because I thought that he would go crazy over that phraseology. He didn't, and you ruined the entire bit. So thanks a lot for you.
I apologize. You knew it was going to happen. I told you it was going to happen. I mean, it was no surprise.
You know, actually it was. I thought that, in fact, Carlin would stop reading the little blurb there. And fine, let's just move on, okay?
Well, explain to me what you were expecting. Me to giggle when he said cocksure?
Now we should move on. You
killed, ruined the bit.
You killed it dead.
No, you ruined the bit.
No, I didn't. No. No, I did not. You ruined it. You killed it. Let's move on to the Yankees. Yankees, what a performance from Gerrit Cole. I mean, my God. I know Tampa can't hit, but he is just he's phenomenal. Yankees win again, don't score, same recipe, great starting pitching, better last night than we've even seen, great relief appearance by Chapman yet again, hasn't allowed an earned run all year long, get the one run, and the Yankees get away with a 1-0 victory, and maybe start to slay the dragon a little bit in what Tampa has been for them.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about how big the series is, right? And again, I mean, it's a game where, outside of Aaron Judge, they really didn't hit. I mean, they didn't hit last night. But because Gerrit Cole is a beast, an absolute beast, I think that's what? He hasn't walked a batter He's got 56 strikeouts since he's last walked a batter.
Yes.
It's been a month.
It's crazy.
I mean, it's insane. And to me, just watching the eighth inning last night as he closed it out for his night, I mean, that was probably the most dominant inning that he had. That was some of the pitches that he threw in that inning, just blowing guys away, and then ends it with the stare.
Yeah, like, he put a little extra on that one.
Yeah, he really was.
And he was efficient, too.
Yep.
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you got eight innings out of him last night. I mean, just phenomenal.
106 pitches, and you thought maybe there was a chance he might come out for the night, but then obviously you saw Chapman.
But you know what? There's no reason to.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a guy that is you're completely confident in. I mean, Chapman is, this is the best I've ever seen him look, ever. He is filthy right now.
Agreed. Can't touch him. Can't touch him at all. And it's insane, not only how good they were last night, but how meaning the two pitchers, but how bad the Rays were last night offensively. Just hadn't, and it was partially Cole, but obviously Dave, as you pointed out, they are a bad offensive team.
Offensively, they're terrible.
Yeah,
I mean to be honest.
Yeah, but it's only accentuated by, I mean, because Garrett Cole's that dominant though.
Yes.
I mean, they're not good, but on top of the fact, I mean, Garrett Cole's
right. So you have a team that can't hit, and you have a pitcher that is dominant. It's a combination for four hits and no runs is what you saw last night. Here's Aaron Boone after the game saying Cole, and he does. He thrives in the big games.
I think he lives for, you know, pitching when it's tough and in the biggest of games. And, you know, obviously in a 1-0 game, we needed all of it, you know. So he was in leverage the entire time. So it was, there was no, even though he breezed through there in some of those innings, what looked like pretty easy, there was a ton on the line with every pitch tonight, obviously. So just a terrific performance to, you know, pick up where Monty got us started yesterday.
Incredible performance. Garrett Cole was asked after the game, was this your best game?
It's a nice game. It's a bit early for me to evaluate that. I mean, it was certainly up there, and it was a tight game, so it's nice to come through.
The thing is, he's good every game, just about. So to sit here and say this is his best game, he's typically very, very good.
Yeah, but that was one of those games where he had his best stuff.
Though. He had his, you know, best, I mean, stuff. He was dominant from the jump last night. You're right.
I'll tell you what, as good as he pitched too, and you guys brought it up, I mean, to strike out the side in the eighth, and then, I mean, 99-mile-an-hour fastball, and then to give it the kind of, like, it was almost Chapman-esque.
Yep.
That kind of, like, stare down, like, okay, all right, let me remind you who we are. Last time I checked with the Yankees.
I can't remember Cole really doing that as a
Never.
Yankee. Yeah. Like, I was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I kind of liked
it. I wondered
though,
if there was something with Phillips, or it was just, no, that's it. Take that.
Or maybe the Rays, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what it is.
It's just that dislike between these two organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get
Absolutely.
To a couple calls. Let's go to Asher in Teaneck. Good morning, Asher. You're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Just two quick points. First of all, I heard Michael Kay saying at the game last night that his name is actually pronounced Jared Kelnick, the second E is silent, apparently. Didn't know that. But the second point, more importantly, I just wanted to get your thoughts about the umpiring situation last night. I mean, like, on both sides, the umpire was all over the place, missing strikes, you know, inside and outside the zone. And just like, I was thinking back to games over the last decade, and you had the Rangers and Rays game from 2013 with a terrible third strike call on Ben Zobrist. You had the Armando Galarraga blown perfect game. I just wanted to get your thoughts about, at what point should we be transitioning to, you know, robot umps or things of that nature? Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
I mean, for the strike zone, I would like to do it now, to be honest with you. And I think the strike zone box is the worst thing for the umpires. Because how many times during the game do you look at a pitch that is well within the box and it's like, nope, that's a ball?
But they get graded on that, though. When you say it's bad for the umpires, that's what they're getting graded on.
I get it, but it's not an easy job.
Well, no, it's not an easy job. You're right. But as far, I mean, they're not going to have, I mean, he brings up the blown perfect game. They're not going to have robot first base umpires.
No.
Like, robotic strike zone, I could see. Because the guy, I mean, last night, I mean, especially with Steve, you could see how frustrated Stanton was. Clint Frazier can't get himself kicked out of a game, by the way. He
not
can't afford to be doing stuff like that. I mean, when you're batting 146, you can't afford to
be
yourself.
Yeah, you don't have the right to freak out. I agree.
Kicked out, yeah.
You know, I thought he had matured, but you get kicked out of the game after the other day when you're trading autographed baseballs with Blake Lively and what's his face? Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds, yeah. Deadpool. Yeah. I do like Ryan Reynolds, though. He's great.
Very cool. Very funny on Twitter. Very funny. But either way, like, I thought we had taken some steps forward here after that disastrous game a few years ago and just blowing off the media afterward. He looked like he was a guy that was actually growing up, and now he looks like a guy who the pressure's getting to right now. And with looking like he did last night, you just can't do stupid stuff like that. You don't have any of the leeway, any of the gravitas to be able to do that stuff. Come on.
No, you're not good enough. And you've been, let's be fair, you've been dreadful this season.
Yes. Atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. After, by the way, everybody's screaming and yelling for you to play every day.
Right. And now you get yourself thrown out of a huge game for the Yankees? It's just a bad job by him.
Can't do it.
Well, it's a lack of self-awareness, right? I mean, you're getting the opportunity of a lifetime that you've, I mean, complained about. I mean, at one point, I mean, I thought when they sent him down and he didn't report, remember that?
Of course.
Yeah.
Like, how dare you send me down? Like, I deserve to be on this team. And now you're getting your shot, and clearly, I mean, Carl, that's exactly what it is. It's the pressure. I mean, this is your one big shot. Finally, you're the starting left fielder for the Yankees, and you're batting 146 right now.
He's crumbling.
How about this one? When he got sent down, I heard this. At the time, when he didn't show up for a day or two, the agent called Brian Cashman and said, I'm going to give you some time to think about what you just did. That happened.
You're Clint Frazier.
You're Clint Frazier.
Right?
You just looked like an immature baby in the outfield when you kicked around the ball and then you left.
But I'm a baby.
All you can do is
you're
talk
baby.
About how cool your spikes are. Come on. I think we're close to done, aren't we?
Yeah. I think so.
Can I ask another silly question?
We've come to expect that. Go ahead.
Well, sometimes I surprise you. Sometimes I'm so mature.
Sometimes you show so mature that we give you a layup, and you're like, no, I don't. I'm not taking the bait there.
It's too easy, though. That's not even a layup. That's too easy. It challenged me a little bit. So, hear me out. And this is going to be right up Carlin's alley because he's so anti-Gary Sanchez, he can't stand him. If your ace pitcher is of the opinion that I pitch better when Kyle Higashioka...
One more? Come on.
Take a 20. Kyle Higashioka catches. If that's your ace, wouldn't you assume that all the other pitchers would feel the exact same way?
I think they probably do.
I think they do too. And you can only get away with it if you're Cole. Like the other guys, maybe Kluber, because I think Kluber, when he's been with Higashioka, has been much better too, if you look at that. But I think if you're the other guys, do any of them have the pull to be able to say that at this point?
No, but I'm not even saying the pull. But if it's clear that Gerrit Cole prefers him because he pitches better, he calls a better game, right? Okay, mm-hmm. I'm paying Gerrit Cole, you know, $36 million a year. I want the best out of Gerrit Cole. He's my ace. Now, we took a flyer on Kluber. I want to prove to everyone that Kluber still has something. He pitches better with Higgy. Let's have him with Higgy. Well, if that's the case with those two, I'm sure it's the same case with Tyone and Montgomery and Herman.
I'm sure it is.
So if he's going to get the
but Cole can tell them, I want to pitch to Higgy.
No, I know, but isn't it on
Higashioka?
But Dave, but what I'm saying, though, is if I'm one of those other guys that doesn't have the gravitas to say that, like, isn't it up to the organization to do it for them? Like, isn't the goal to get the best out of your players?
Yes, but now you're making the switch where you are officially going from Sanchez to Higashioka, and I don't think the organization is ready for some reason to do that as of right now.
It's been pretty gradual, though. I mean, they did say Higashioka is going to play more, and he has. And look, he's down to 208, but if he's not absolutely crushing you offensively, and you are getting great defense from him, and the pitchers are better as a result, there's not much of a discussion to be.
No,
had.
Listen, I would go ahead and I would rip the Band-Aid off. I would be done with Sanchez, and I would make Higashioka my number one catcher.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
RJ Santillo, the fine producer of this show, just said the nicest thing to me. And I think if you're being honest with yourselves, I think Carlin will probably agree, and I think Rick will make fun of, because this is the kind of thing that Rick will make fun of. He said, you know what you'd be really good at? I said, what, RJ? He said, you'd be a really good college professor. He said, I think you should go to a local school and teach the youth of this country.
Yeah, because that's just what colleges want, is a guy who thinks lurking is...
Online lurking, there's nothing wrong with it. I would be a terrific, I mean, the kids would take to me. I would be a terrific professor.
Yeah, I doubt it.
See? Diana, I don't think I could do anything.
No, I think you do the radio really well. I still have questions about the podcast. I mean, that's you got makeup on, you had lip gloss or something, your lips are all shiny.
You look beautiful.
Look like P. Diddy.
And welcome aboard. I'm Dave Rothenberg, and this is Rothenberg Untucked, our maiden voyage.
Why call it Untucked, though? Because when I turn it on, Dave Rothenberg Untucked leads me to believe that it's going to be like Dave Rothenberg, like, unhinged, like the unfiltered version of Dave Rothenberg.
You say that, and you're bearing the lead here. You're bearing me being a professor.
Dave, you think that lurking is fine? Like, oh, hey, kids, I was just saying, hey.
I looked at her online profile. My God, I saw she got engaged. I was not outside in the bushes.
Hey, Debbie, I was lurking on your IG last night, and I just noticed that you had your birthday. Happy birthday.
Like, online lurking, there's nothing wrong with it. I follow Diana because she's a personality and because she's an informative person to follow. Not because I'm lurking after her.
I guarantee you don't lurk on Chris Carlin's IG.
I know exactly what. First of all, I'm not on Instagram. I've never been on Instagram. I don't know anything about it. All right. Everything I do is on Twitter. And I absolutely follow it and know what's happening with Carlin.
I think you got me muted. I honestly, you use the word lurking. So
yes.
Even if
I want to be a college professor, why can't we talk about that?
Well, because it kind of ties in. Because, you know, if you're going to be a college professor, you can't be lurking. You can't be lurking.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have a guy who has restraining orders and has to register.
A restraining order.
A red dot over his house. Like, yeah, but yeah, at some point, like Diana, at some point, anytime, could happen today. She's going to announce to people, I'm so uncomfortable that I'm going to present Dave with a restraining order today.
Why would she keep coming back on the show if she felt uncomfortable?
Out of fear.
No, stop it. Stop it. So what I would like, and thank you for this suggestion, RJ, I would like one of the local universities to call, and I would love to teach, be professor.
So you won't call them. You want the bidding war for your services.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
You didn't really go to college.
What do you mean I didn't go to college?
You went to, like, DeVry or something.
I went to New York Tech. I went to a legitimate 4-year accredited university.
I don't know if I fully believe that.
It's a beautiful campus. You've been there. They had a Dave Rothenberg day that you attended.
I was underwhelmed. This is not Harvard.
Did not. Because Candy bailed out last minute, which I didn't realize was his thing. But you went. You showed up.
They had Dave Rothenberg day at your college?
And it was glorious. Yes.
What did they do?
Ceremonies.
Meet, greet. Yeah, ceremony, meet and greet, cross.
People came out. Yeah, it was a big deal. Like, but I want to be a college professor. Why can't we talk about that?
Were there things that they did that were a certain homage to you? You know,
well,
did they?
They held it during a big lacrosse game, and I dropped the ceremonial first ball. There you go. Hands were shaken, and pictures were taken, and I met a lot of people, and I went on the radio broadcast of the game, and yeah, it was a big deal. Rick was there. He went.
Took the family. And everyone was
I actually think Rick was proud of me that day.
No, I was very proud.
It was a big day.
Hmm. I mean, it's a huge honor, though. I mean, you get your own day at the school. That's pretty cool.
That's a huge honor.
I'm just wondering, like, Rick, what would have been the proper things to do if you're honoring Dave, especially considering you went to college there? Like, what would be a highlight of Dave's college if we've already established that he's a lurker and a loiterer?
I'm
not a loiterer.
Probably beat yourself up in your dorm room would probably be one thing to honor Dave. We did a lot of that.
Uh-oh. See, I'm so mistreated on the show. I need definite help.
A lot of surfing of porn.
I think you'd be an outstanding college professor.
And I think you mean that sincerely.
I do. I do mean that sincerely.
I do not. I do not think you'd be a good college professor. I do not.
Of course. Because anything that could potentially... You know what it is, Carlin? And we'll get to the Mets in just a second. Anything that could potentially take me away from my undivided attention to Rick, he doesn't like. Podcast, doesn't like. College professor, doesn't like. Anything that can take my focus for a second away from the delicate genius that is Rick DiPietro, he won't sign on with.
You know, I got to say, I think he'd be all right. I think he'd find a way to survive.
Why are you saying this to him, Colin? You know what's going to happen? Because he really thinks this now. Mm. You planted the seed in his head. He's going to make some phone calls. Andy from Merrick somehow is going to pay Dave to be a professor at some college. Just like he does the whole the Stump Rothenberg thing. They'll be trying to
early risers.
Dave will be asking them like to ask him questions. He won't be teaching anything. He'll be like, hey, ask me where this guy went to school. Ah, boom. Didn't think I would get that one, did you?
We're gonna teach a class called Stump Rothenberg.
Yeah, well, they ask him questions, and he gets paid for it.
I actually was saying I thought you would be okay without Dave.
It would, you know, you would be, he'd be a disaster. Come on, you'd be a disaster if I went away. If I took my talents to a university.
No, I've been I'm codependent on you now. I can't have you leave. I don't like you doing the podcast.
And see, I told you, Carlin. He is terrified of me. I'm not leaving you, Rick. I'm not leaving you. I can expand my wings, do other things, and still be here for you every
Monday
through
Friday. Have
you heard
of the mole people? Yeah, you want to go do documentaries with the mole people?
They're fascinating people.
By the way, I do want to see you do that. I heard the promo a few weeks ago, and I heard the story and went back and listened to the story. I think that would be a fascinating documentary, but I would fear for your safety.
Yeah. Well, they could attack me. And make me teach them classes down there. Right?
I'd be their leader. It would take 2 months to be their leader.
Mole University.
The mole people saying, right. What was Dan Reeves' record as Giants coach? Yeah.
Where did Dan Reeves go to college? No. For a ham sandwich. All right.
Dave's doing morning drive on red Solo cups down to the mole people. Wakey, wakey. You got Dave Rothenberg coming to you live.
Oh, my God. I'll script out the open. Mets yesterday. Another win. Boy, Taijuan Walker. And I know we kind of touched on it yesterday, Rick. And we said how good he's been. I don't think you gave him the credit he deserves. What an acquisition this guy has been. He was sensational again yesterday.
No, he was great. I mean, another seven innings. He was awesome. I don't say that I'm selling him short. I felt like
you sold him short.
I didn't expect him to be as good as he's been. I don't think anyone's expected him to be as good as he's been. He's been everything you could ask for and more. And as far as that Mets game was concerned yesterday, I mean, that was one of the better Mets games that you'll see, or I've seen in a long time. It had everything. They had 7-for-10 with runners in scoring position. They played great
Smith
defense.
Smith was good. Conforto was good. The pitching
was great.
They stole
bases.
It was stress-free.
Yeah, but you're talking about like all the things that like there was a bunch of things that have driven me driven. Is that right?
Yeah,
driven is a word. Yes.
Okay, that have driven me crazy over the last couple of years. And some of the things that we said, okay, the Mets team, if they want to get the best out of what they have, these are the things that need to improve. And at the top of that list was defense and bullpen. Bullpen's been really good, and the defense, again last night, I mean, Conforto's all of a sudden playing gold glove right field. Pilar's making great plays. I mean, these are all the things that I was like, oh, man, fundamentally, the Mets stink. And now all of a sudden you watch this team play.
It feels different. You know what they deserve a huge, and Sandy specifically, huge commendation for, Carlin? The bench. All right.
That's exactly where I was going.
The bench has been so bad for so long, and they put guys up. You'd be like, wow, why is this guy here? But McNeil is out, and Guillorme is out, and J.D. Davis is out, and you love Pilar, what he brings to the table, and you love what VR brings to the table. And all of a sudden, Peraza. I mean, who was a legitimate everyday starting second baseman up through last year? The depth on this team is different than it's been in a long time.
And to me, that's the biggest difference. It really is, because you were no longer looking at guys that weren't that basically would be out of the game if they weren't with the Mets or somewhere in AAA or 4A players anymore. You're looking at legitimate major league players that are there to back up what you have. And to me, that speaks volumes about where they are now. It's one of the bigger differences. I honestly look at, let's talk about Taijuan Walker for a second. Taijuan Walker would not be a Met if the Wilpons were still in charge. Is that fair to say?
Very fair to say.
Yeah, they gave him a 2-year, $20 million contract. They would have gone and spent a 1-year, $3 million contract on a Michael Wacha type. Obviously, they would have gone away from Wacha, somebody else. But try to catch the lightning in a bottle, right? So many times they've done that over the last 10 years. Once in a while, it's worked. But there's a reason why they call it catching lightning in a bottle. It doesn't happen. And now you have a guy in Taijuan Walker that was a bargain, yes, but you've got him for 2 years and $20 million, and he just looks like, and we talk about depth. This is great depth in the rotation because of having a guy like that.
Here's the other thing, though, too, and don't take this for granted. I mean, do you guys think if the Wilpons still on this team that they would have qualified Marcus Stroman?
No chance. There's zero chance that he would be a Met right now.
No,
and he's been great.
Look at this pitching staff. This pitching staff is a top five pitching staff in all of baseball, and you're going to get Carrasco and Syndergaard back in the not so distant future. So,
and Syndergaard's been eating the heart and liver and everything else. He's all jacked up.
He is ready to go.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
One of the storylines of the Mets and Orioles yesterday was the return of Matt Harvey. I got to be honest with you, Rick. I actually wanted him to pitch better than he in fact did. I love the ovation he got. I wish it was a bigger crowd or it would have been a bigger ovation. I do have fond memories of Matt Harvey. I felt sorry for him because you could tell how well he wanted to do, and he got batted around by the Mets yesterday.
Yeah, it was a huge moment for him. You know how I feel about Matt, and that was something that absolutely 1,000%. You know, when he saw him after the game and how introspective he was, how emotional he was, like, that was, I can imagine going into that game that there were, I mean, to say nerves would be an understatement. Like, mm-hmm. how would the fan reaction be? Because he loved being a Met.
I know people
question that sometimes with some of the stuff that went on with Matt, but knowing him personally, like, he loved being a Met. He absolutely 1,000% loved being a Met. So for the fans to react the way they did was awesome. And of course, I mean, I love Matt, and I was disappointed with the way he pitched. But the fact that the crowd responded the way he did, they did for him, I thought was great. The crowd deserves, Mets fans deserve a ton of credit for how they responded to him yesterday.
I thought it was phenomenal. I really did. From him coming in from the bullpen, from him coming to the plate and walking off, and hearing him talk after the game, it was, you've been able to get over the Matt Harvey era easily because of Jacob DeGrom and his greatness and what he's been. But when you think about what that was and how unbelievably exciting it was every single time the guy pitched, it was off the charts. They haven't had that since Doc in 85. And I actually think that because DeGrom is who he is, there's not that same energy to it. And it's not a knock on him. He's much better. All that stuff. Great pitcher. Don't get me wrong. But because of the personality that Matt was and what he was doing at the time and the fact that they had this kind of savior that people were looking forward to seeing, that energy that was there when he was pitching, I was doing Mets pre and post those first couple of years. I mean, it was amazing to see it. And to see him be as introspective as he was, as Rick said, I saw more. The fact that he actually said, I kind of feel like I let them down.
You know, he does.
Like, that's the one that really stuck with me.
No, I mean, Carl, we would have conversations. I mean, he would in multiple times. You know, how he wanted to be a Met for life, how much he loved, you know, being in the city. I mean, I would go places with him. Everywhere we went, he'd get stopped. Like, he was a humongous deal.
They did an E60 on him. I went to the premiere with our old program director. Remember? They did the Dark Knight E60 that they came out with. He was a huge star. He was a huge story.
Yeah, he was a celebrity. And then, unfortunately, kind of became, a cautionary tale of what can happen to you as a big-time athlete celebrity in New York City, how sometimes it can swallow you up. And here's the other thing, though, too, to take into account is, and I think part of what happened yesterday was he almost wanted it too much. Like, he was trying so hard to pitch really well that he almost, sometimes that can work against you. Mm-hmm. Dave, there was a thought from him not too long ago that he was done in Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
That he was never going to ever get the opportunity to come back and pitch at Citi Field. Like, he was actively looking for jobs outside of baseball because he thought he was finished. And he's found a way, I give him credit, to kind of reinvent himself. Because, I mean, the mindset of someone like Matt was, and as a young athlete, you can't help but buy into it. Like, is the persona of the Dark Knight became who he was. Like, he fully embraced it. And when you're throwing, 98 miles an hour, you're as dominant as he is. You know, he's stalking around the mound. Everyone loves him, right? He's starting all-star games and everything else. Doing Jimmy Fallon, front row seats to the Knicks and everything else. To all of a sudden lose that,
Like, yeah, it gets ripped away from you.
It gets ripped away from
you. A shell of what you once were. And the thing that struck me so much yesterday is when he was on the Mets, you kind of, and he was such a big star, you kind of thought that he, and I think he did, had an attitude and
yes.
could have like a I'm better than you kind of a feel.
Yep.
And I thought that yesterday he was so human and so likable. That I really don't know how you could hear what he had to say after the game. We'll take a listen to it in just a second. I don't know how you could hear what he had to say after the game and not think, you know what, this guy, maybe there was a time of immaturity there and when he was a young pitcher with the Mets. That time is gone. Like, he really gets it now.
He really
does. Gets it because it was, he gets it because it was ripped away from him. Like, well, it's almost like polar opposites, right? Like what you saw, we just, you know, earlier in the show, we talked about how great Gerrit Cole was. And then when he finishes up that eighth inning, how we kind of put a little extra on it, like kind of puffed out his chest and stared into the Rays dugout like, okay, I'm Gerrit Cole, right? Like, that's how Matt used to be. That's exactly how he used to be. Like, that's how he would stalk around the mound. And now that's not who he is anymore, and he's had to come to grips with that. That's the reality now.
Yep. And you can feel it, and you heard it in the post game. Here he is after the game, Matt Harvey on the standing ovation from the Mets fans.
A lot of excitement, a lot of memories. Obviously, there's been so many ups and downs here at this ballpark and with this organization that, you know, I didn't really know what to expect. And what they gave me, what the fans gave me out there was pretty incredible. Was holding back tears. I'm not going to lie about that. It was pretty hard holding them back. And it reminded me of, a lot of the good memories and coming off the field with, you know, an ovation like that. It brought a lot back, and it was very special to me. Something I'll never forget.
Yeah, but I think what I said, I want to reiterate. He sounded human, and I don't think you had a ton of that the first time. Well, the time that he was here with the Mets.
Well, because he wasn't,
really
though.
Matured.
But he wasn't human. He was a rock star. He was a superhero when he was the Dark Knight, and that's not who he is anymore. And I'll tell you what, that feeling he had of, I feel like I let the organization down. That is one thought, like, that's how I feel sometimes. And that was one of my biggest, that I'm not even joking. When Alan asked me the first time, would you like to do the radio? I said, no, there's no chance I'm doing the radio. Because my biggest fear was, how are Islanders fans and hockey fans going to react if all of a sudden I'm on the radio? Like, what, would there be people that call in and just hate
just
my guts?
Mm.
But I mean, that wasn't the case. And I think the further you get away from it, you know, obviously, you know, the better it gets, but I can imagine going into that game, he was nervous that, you know, what kind of response am I going to get from this fan base? And Colin, you're right. I think a lot of it's been softened because of how good Jacob DeGrom has been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, with him, I always felt like, first of all, it was not 100% his fault. Like, there were little stupid dramas that came up that absolutely were, but the organization did not
they did him no favors,
right.
You're right.
They really didn't in a lot of instances. But listen, there were times where they were genuinely worried about him and his well-being. And you understood it. I always felt like after what happened in 2015 and you saw Terry let him back into the game, he sprung out of that dugout. He was just flying out to the mound. Like, he was so overly hyped. That was kind of the last real.
That was it.
That was it. And I felt like after 2015, at the time, they should have traded him at the time.
Yeah, that was it. That was the last hurrah from Matt Harvey. DCR 98.7 ESPN.
But here's the thing, though. That was another one of those situations with the Mets screwing things up. Sorry to interrupt you, but it's like, I mean, all of a sudden, like, now we're going to put it on Matt to let people know that he's got an innings restriction coming off of Tommy John. We'll put it on him to make the decision.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the Mets did not handle a lot
it's
of things.
A bad organization.
Right. They didn't do him any favors, and in some instances, really were very comfortable in letting him be the bad guy in some situations where he didn't need to be.
And they left him out to dry. Rick, can I tell people about Progressive?
I would love it.
DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests on DCR appear via the Goodyear Hotline. All right, Carl, and the last thing we want to have happen is Rick not to get enough time in observations and DHIF. So without any further ado, on the Thursday, which he did the open, here is observations.
Rick DiPietro consumes more media than anyone on this planet.
Great point, Rick. It's another genius point by you.
And these are his observations. We could have called it Rick's observations, but, you know, it's Rick we're dealing with here.
Yeah, let's go testy and then knob.
Here's your host, Rick DiPietro.
All right, fellas, here we go. Thursday edition of Knobservations. Before we get started with the actual knobs, I want to play a quick game. I know Dave loves playing these games.
I love games.
All right, so highest paid athletes, according to Forbes, over the last year, from May 1st of 2020 to May 1st of 2021, can you guess who the highest paid athlete in the world was? Kyle Higashiyoshi.
It's not a traditional sport, is it?
It is not a traditional sport, no.
I'm either thinking like a NASCAR guy, a Formula One guy, Conor McGregor. I'm gonna go Conor McGregor.
Ooh, Conor McGregor. How about you, Mr. Carlin?
Well, I saw the answer yesterday, and I think Dave did too, and I think he just played it like he didn't.
Oh, that's correct.
Wow, he's calling you out. So Dave did see it. You are correct.
No, I saw it yesterday. Yeah.
It's easy to tell when you're lying, Dave. Especially, yeah, I mean,
I wasn't lying.
No, you
how
were lying in that you're playing it like you didn't see it.
How did I lie?
Because you were playing it like you didn't see it. You were playing it like you're a genius.
I played it close to the vest.
Yeah, that's lying.
Conor McGregor, $180 million.
Wow.
I am boxing!
That's incredible. Of that $180 million, so he actually sold, his proper number 12 for $150 million. So of the 180, he made $158 million outside of the octagon.
Wow. He has a soft, flabby body like he was a fat guy.
He knows Dave.
He wouldn't have liked the NFL draft either.
Yeah, he knows Dave. All right, here's another one, Dave. This is to make you happy before we get into the knobs.
Here's what you do, and then you're going to have no time. You're like, it's not fair. I didn't have enough time. You've wasted now 2 minutes of knobservation.
And now you're wasting more of it, Dave.
With non-knob stories. Go ahead. Good.
No,
that's fine.
This is my segment. I can make whatever I want. I'm trying to put you in a good
mood. Don't complain at the end.
I'm not going to. Did you hear what Shannon Sharpe had to say about your first round draft pick, Kadarius Toney?
I did not.
Wow. Gushing. He's special. You just want the ball in his hands. Whether they punt it to him, kick it to him, you throw it to him.
Yes.
Hand it to him. Direct snap it to him.
Yes.
He's one of those guys. You just want the ball in his hands.
Yes. It's all happening with the Giants.
So that makes you feel good. All right. Let's get to the observations. Here we go. First one up. So you guys remember that Kyrie Irving was fined for violating the NBA league's media policy?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, the $35,000. So let's see how he interact with the media recently.
Like I said the other day, just we need these tests. So... excuse me, I'm very hungry. Just played an NBA game.
He's eating. Yeah, he's eating.
He has no. You wonder why people don't like him. He pays no respect to anybody.
I kind of respect him.
Okay. Yeah, but you're doing it on purpose, though. That's what I don't respect. Like you're clearly doing it. You don't have to eat during the.
No, that's what I respect.
Come on. Yeah. I mean, I know you joke about it. It's highly disrespectful.
Oh. If we've learned anything, it's that. Most of the time, he doesn't care.
And that's disrespectful. Someone's trying to do their job. He's already told you, I don't care about your job. You're lesser of a person than me. Find me because I don't want to talk to you. And now let me sit up here. Sorry, I'm hungry and I'll eat.
I'd rather at least know where I stand with a guy than guess.
Well, so you know where you stand.
Yeah. Listen, the guy's going to eat a sandwich in front of me. Listen, screw you. Right to your face. Take it. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah,
strong take by Carlin. Strong take.
Defending Kyrie Irving.
I'm almost embarrassed for you, Carlin, right now. All right, here we go. Teddy Bridgewater, formerly of the Carolina Panthers, got screwed by Sam Darnold yet again, was on the All Things Covered podcast talking about Carolina and kind of some of the things that went wrong last year in Carolina.
I'll just say this for Joe Brady's growth. I think, man, like that organization, they'll have to like just practice different things in different ways. Like one of the things we didn't do much of when I was there, we didn't practice 2 minute really. We didn't practice red zone, you know.
What?
So
it was the most important. So, that's
what you used to have a whole day devoted for 2 minute in red zone. That's Thursday like, practice.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, I guess the game is becoming about science, trying to keep guys healthy. So
you
didn't practice on Fridays there, but you walked through like the. You walk through the red zone stuff, and then Saturday you come out and practice red zone, but you only get like 15 live reps, and guys reps are limited.
Wow.
Yeah, not great.
No.
Not good.
An indictment on Joe Brady and the Panthers.
Yeah. Well, not even that. It's more Matt Rhule than anyone. I mean, Matt Rhule is the one that sets the practice schedule. I guess this is one of the things that happens though, when you have a defensive-minded head coach, right? like how he prioritizes things.
Well, but Brady is supposed to be an offensive genius.
That's right, and yeah. a young offensive genius.
I know, but you're missing
but
him.
But you're missing the point, though. Joe Brady is working with what he's given from the head coach. Like, this is how much time Matt Rhule is giving Joe Brady to actually do what he needs to do because of the sports science and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, listen, at that point, you have to, if you're the offensive coordinator, you have to prioritize, and he wasn't prioritizing that well. That's not good.
All right, here's another one. I thought this was an interesting story. So, Bryson DeChambeau, we all know who Bryson DeChambeau is?
Yes.
Correct?
Another guy.
Buff golfer, sure.
Oh, yeah. So, he was playing in the Wells Fargo Championship. After round two, didn't think he was going to make the cut. So what did he do? He jumped on a 2:45 flight home.
Well, he left home early?
Well, he didn't think he was going to make the cut, so he left.
And did he?
Oh, yeah. Finds out when he lands. He landed that he had to get back on his plane, fly back to the course, got there at 6:20 a.m., drove 30 minutes to the golf course, put on his clothes in the locker room, and then headed to the putting green. And what did he proceed to do? Shoot a 68, finished tied for ninth in the tournament.
Wow. And then he ate a sandwich in your face.
Sandwich right in your face because he's hungry.
Why would he leave?
He didn't think he was going to make the cut.
I understand, but I guess it was worth the risk for him, huh?
Well, yeah, but it's the beauty of having the ability to fly private jets wherever you want, right?
Yeah, again, respect. Oh, I made the cut? All right, let's go.
All right,
I'm back.
Around.
Yeah, I just finished ninth. No big deal.
Let's
I'll
get right back on this thing.
So here's another one. Jimmy Butler and Karl Anthony Towns didn't have it didn't seem like that a great relationship when Jimmy Butler was in Minnesota.
No.
So when the two met up, Minnesota against Miami, I don't have the audio because you can't play the audio, but they're trash talking back and forth, and Jimmy Butler says to Karl Anthony Towns, "You're soft as baby bleep."
Oh.
Wow.
It's aggressive.
Yeah.
Soft
yeah,
as baby bleep.
Yeah, it is.
And we know how soft baby bleep is.
Well, yeah. Well, especially if you get the blowout. That's the word. The diaper is, yeah. I mean, it's a diaper is useless, really. I mean, it doesn't do nothing.
Useless.
It does nothing.
No, what are you talking
why
about?
Should it leak out of the diaper? It's like,
well,
down
you're
the
buying
legs.
The wrong diapers, maybe.
I'm buying terrific diapers.
I don't know about that. Not if it's leaking.
Well, listen. All right, here we go. Last one.
I'm sorry, I can't relate to this.
You may be in diapers soon. Here we go. Last one. Packers fans, don't worry if this whole Aaron Rodgers thing doesn't work out.
You know, they have a new quarterback?
They have a new quarterback. Never fear. Blake Bortles is here.
Yes, we can.
Signed a one-year deal in Green Bay.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Oh, hi.
You think you have leverage, Aaron?
That's
we'll
right.
go with Blake Bortles.
You know who we'll bring in? Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Guy. Take that number. Yeah, that number 12.
You want to hold out? That's fine.
That's right. We will bring in Blake Bortles.
You're easily replaceable.
Santi, give me my, did it happen in Florida, my D-hit.
A man's naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did it happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
Man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a Naples home and telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
All right, here we go, fellas. Did it happen in Florida? A spicy slip of the tongue led to a Spanish teacher being yanked from her classes after investigators found she had performed an inappropriate sexual act during a Zoom lesson.
During a lesson?
So while on this Zoom call doing a lesson, she first started off by eating spaghetti with a shirtless man behind her.
Okay.
Once done with the spaghetti, she now turns to the shirtless man, and it appears that she appears to suck the nipple of an unidentified topless man while she rocked her head back and forth, according to the Special Commissioner
God.
Of Investigation for City Schools.
I told you I want to be a professor.
You said you wanted to be an employed professor, not an unemployed professor.
Well, sometimes it takes a turn.
Oh.
Wow. It's the Kyrie Irving of teachers.
Yeah, so this started like 12 minutes before the class ended. Students were still on the call, and they saw it. She gave no explanation for her alleged conduct. She declined to be interviewed and did not return any messages. Did
she
this happen?
She did expect the homework assignment on her desk by Monday morning.
How about you start off by, like, you're doing a class. I'm going to eat this spaghetti, and now, hey, I'm just going to turn it over. Yeah, bring your nipple over here. Let me get a taste of that. I mean,
just having this shirtless man behind her has to raise a red flag, no?
You would imagine, yeah. Did that happen in Florida?
Carlin, you want to go first here?
Sure.
You want me to take the shot?
I got it. That did not happen in Florida.
Ooh. Did not happen in Florida. David Rothenberg.
I'm thinking this is one of three places. I'm thinking this is New York, Texas, or Florida. Because I like two outside of Florida, I will agree with Carlin and say not Florida.
Santiago, Florida.
I feel like this is one of those ones designed to trick you. It's so weird, but it's just weird enough to not be Florida, so I'll say not Florida.
What exactly? Can someone explain to me? What is the use of a male nipple to, by the way?
It's the use of a belly button. Anything else?
I don't know.
No, the male nipple seems... Let me see those nipples, Carlin.
No, please. For the love of God.
I'd like to see those pepperonis. You guys are correct. That was actually in New York City.
New York City!
That is a New York City story.
Oh, wow.
We did it. Again, we did it.
Nice.
Congratulations, fellas.
Look at us. Did it happen in New York?
And there you have it. Thursday edition of Knobbed and DeHiff.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.